Appreciate all the input on that conversation Mike and I were having about being from here and not cheering for the home team. Just an interesting thing, man.
It's funny. A lot of responses. A lot of guys agree. Some guys, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. But some guys feel if an organization in their minds is incompetent to the point where you lose all confidence in you, now it's all bets are off and you shouldn't or have to root for them anymore. I do get that side. I do have the awkward.
It's fair.
The awkward position of defending a team sometimes. I do argue against what they're doing, but I get that.
I do. Hey, man, we're out here again, Buffalo's Cafe, Flowery Branch, hanging out. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We'll be out here till 6:30 tonight, 3446 Winder Highway in Flowery Branch. Tomorrow back in the studio, which I don't even know what the studio looks like because we've been on the road for like the last 2 weeks.
It's been so long.
It's been a long time.
By the way,
back.
Is there anybody in the flooring business? We have a job for you.
Oh, no doubt. We do need a new floor there. But Friday, Friday.
Don't be a company man, Day-Day. I'm just saying. We haven't been in the studio in a while.
Look,
a lot of scuff marks.
The bamboo flooring that was originally put in there.
Yes.
Okay. And I can say this because our former boss was like, which one of these do you like? And seriously,
it was a beautiful choice.
And I said, are you serious right now? It's a floor. I don't care. We're not picking my home. I don't care. And he had all these different designs, and it lasted for about, I don't know, 8 years. And since then, it's been crap. So it's just what it is. But we'll be back in studio Thursday and Friday. I know Mike Conti's like, shut up, shut up, shut up. Hey, man, let's get to talking some dogs. Mike, first things first, let's talk about what Mike Bobo said today, because I found this interesting.
Big article, by the way, just dropped on Dog Nation from our good friend Connor Riley,
about
Bobo.
Well, look, first of all, your criticism of Bobo before we get into what he had to say, criticism.
I just don't think it's anything. I was talking to some dog fans at the bar earlier today. You're here at Buffalo's. Just sometimes he zigs when he should zag. Run the football. Now, again, limitations. If you feel the defensive line is dominating the line of scrimmage, I don't know. You're looking for a stalemate. You have to establish the run to create the play action, which I think Georgia should depend on. I don't know where this goes this year. I'm not a fan of Bobo. I think there's better. Guys always go, who? Take any of the elite offenses and find an assistant from that program. Where do you think these guys come from? And I don't think Kirby is married to Bobo as much as you think he is, but there's a great article at Dog Nation. Quote, anytime you start a football game, you want to start fast. It's from Mike Bobo. We always talk about starting fast. He goes, you go through it, and a lot of it was execution issues. Sometimes being quite frank, it was a little bit being conservative in those situations. See, I think he even talks himself out of running the football. Mm. I mean, when your quarterback is throwing picks every freaking possession, run the damn ball. Alabama, yep. First half.
Yeah.
Case in point.
He said, as far as his health, he says, I feel great. He says, I'm probably excited or as excited as I've been ever been, and I'm not trying to prove something. Mike Bobo says that he's working to fix Georgia's offensive woes from a season ago. When you say that, you know, this whole self-scout thing we talk about, and, you know, where was our offense last year? He knows that it wasn't what it should have been. So, Mike, there is pressure on him. I know you think there's more pressure on the offensive line coach and Stacy Searles as well than maybe Mike Bobo. They go hand in hand. But that offense is not winning you a national championship with the way it was handled last year. It's got to be better.
I mean, guys, it's funny. I talk to dog fans, and look, I could pick five games. I just pick on the last game of the season that happened to be Notre Dame down in New Orleans, where you got manhandled. They were living in your backfield. You know, we talk about, you know, Notre Dame and all the hype over the years for Brian Kelly. Marcus Freeman really got that team. He may have struggled initially, Carl. He's got a machine. They're going to be a machine again this year.
Yeah.
They kicked your butt. And so I could talk about Ole Miss. Ole Miss kicked your butt. You know, Georgia Tech kicked your butt at times. Now, 8 overtimes, I mean, that game could have gone either way. But this is the world you're living in. There's everybody, the playing field has been, for the most part, leveled. We'll see if Texas has more depth and how they handle it. But everybody else, and this goes to Ryan Day breaking in a new quarterback. The pressure on Penn State, some guys think Penn State's going to be, they think now that, Carl, this year Penn State is what Michigan and Ohio State have been. The team that kept their upperclassmen with a returning star quarterback in Drew Aller. So we'll see. They got to handle it. Their schedule's a cakewalk for the most part.
You know, I have them coming out of the Big Ten.
They never beat, let's be honest, they never win those big games against Ohio State and Michigan. Maybe this is the year.
Yeah.
But getting back to Georgia, your margin for error is so slim. That's why I harp on the coaching, because that's where the little things make the difference.
So here's the other part about this as we talk dogs here, and then we're going to let you hear Divine Diablo. We'll give you our take and certainly our observations coming up at 5 o'clock with the Falcon Report about today's scrimmage. It was live. It was a simulated game scrimmage, guys.
It was hot.
It was. First team on first team. It was good stuff. The other thing that we're thinking about is, guys, is Georgia going to lose a home game this year? They haven't lost since October 14th, 2019 against South Carolina. It's the last time. You're talking about a long span, and I think a range of something like 40-some-odd games since the last time they lost at home. But, Mike, you have to play Texas and Alabama at home this year. And those are the two games, by the way. Every other game they should handle. But if you were to say, hey, they might lose a home game this year, those are the two games that you look at. And I know Kirby and everybody at Georgia takes pride in defending their home field, as they should. But it's been a long time since they lost a home game. Is this the year?
Well, is Steve Sarkisian going to have a three-game losing streak to Kirby Smart? Because that's what happens if Georgia handles their business between the hedges. You know, we're going to see, and what I mean, that game's going to be insane. By the way, plan ahead. We're going to be, I think we're going to Grindhouse, we've already talked about there on Lumpkin. It's going to be an amazing weekend. Barbara Dooley will be with us.
For the Alabama game.
Alabama, and that's Alabama, Georgia. But the Texas game is going to be bananas. But, Carl, are you telling me Steve Sarkisian is going to have a three-game losing streak to Kirby Smart in 2 years?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, look, we already think Kirby's a better coach, period, right now with what he's done. If he does that, and again, I don't know who'll be favored in that game. Maybe Texas comes in as the number one ranked team, which would be more motivation. But Georgia being at home, my guess is, Mike, they should be favored. But if Texas is number one, they will probably come into that game favored. I will tell you, if he loses again, it's more proof that Sark in these big games cannot get his team over the hump.
Texas going to beat Ohio State?
Yes. That game they're going to win.
You know what? Ryan Day, even though he won the Natty, it's funny. I told Carl we're down in the Keys. We're going to get to the interview in just a second with Divine Diablo. Down in the Keys, running to people from Ohio, you just won a national championship under Ryan Day. And they're still upset about losing 4 years in a row to Michigan.
Yeah, as they should be. You got to beat your rival. Speaking of Divine Diablo, one of our linebackers, and I think he's going to be a starter for us, guys, had a chance to visit with Andy and Randy. First thing they asked him was why he chose the ATL. Divine Diablo, that is, talking with Andy and Randy. We'll hear it here in just a second on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I caught up with Tyler Allgeier. If you missed that interview, you can always go online at odyssey.com and check it out. Coming up next hour, we'll replay that for you. And Caleb McGarry coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Trying to give you as much Falcon content and coverage, guys, as we possibly can here, leading up not only to the first preseason game, but also the start of the season. Want you guys to get to know as
right.
much about these guys as we possibly can.
And we didn't know much about Divine Diablo, just playing for the Raiders and in the mix rotationally. And this guy's actually, you know, led the team in tackles. He's been a star. We don't know much about him, but I will say, bigger than what I thought he was going to be.
Yes.
And he really does kind of fit what they want to do under Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, I agree.
Is it Reddy Oren back at the ranch?
Well, Mike, and here's the thing. He was in coverage today a couple of different times, running with wide receivers, which I absolutely loved. And that is one of the reasons why Raheem Morris wanted to go out and get him, is because of his ability to do that. All right, let's hear from Divine Diablo, man, with Andy and Randy.
I came here for a visit. Everybody was just into the football program, like the cafeteria, the coaches, trainers, just the whole ordeal, and I just felt welcomed here. They wanted me, and I wanted to be here.
That's great. That's what everybody wants to hear. For folks that maybe are the fans that are listening, the Falcons fans that are listening, that might be a little unfamiliar with your game, tell them what type of player you are.
I'm a fast, physical player. I like to hit, and I just like to make plays, man. I like to play for my team and go from there.
What has your role been so far? Because obviously you just talked about it, and when they signed you, that was the first thing they told us about you was the speed part of your game and everything. So as your role is being defined right now, what do they have you doing more of? Is it more you're in for coverages, or are you in on like third downs? I don't want you to tell us all the beans, because I know Robbie having an ear to the ground and everything. But explain to us a little bit about your role.
Yes, sir. I'm pretty much on the field for all downs. They want me in running, like when they run the ball, they want me in coverage, all that. I'm just going to be like a jack of all trades, lack of better terms. They just want me to be a playmaker, and that's what I plan to be.
Divine Diablo joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch. It's not your first training camp. You've been in the league for a number of years, like Randy mentioned, but it's your first camp here.
Yes, sir.
How is it different being with the Falcons versus where you have been?
I will say the heat is different here. It's different. You gotta get used to it. But outside of that, man, the guys take care of you. The coaches take care of you. But we all obviously come to work when we need to come to work. And I appreciate that. It's very competitive here. That's been different from these past few years. Not as competitive as other places, but very competitive here. We come to compete every day. If the offense wins one day, the defense is going to come back strong the next day. And that's what I like.
You're still a relatively young player in this league. I mean, this is going on year five right now.
Yes,
and
sir.
I asked you about the – man, you call me sir again. It's going to be some problems.
Oh, my fault.
All right, it's going to be some
problems. That's disrespectful. Well, you are a knight.
yeah.
So, sir, I mean, maybe sir, he knows that.
Yeah. But, I mean, tell us about your game and how, you know, obviously we was talking about the youth of the defense right now and having to have what we would say back in our time was, you know what, you got to become a vet fast.
Yeah.
Technically, you are a vet. How is your game evolved from when you first got just like these guys now to where you are now?
Well, I came in a safety. Like, they moved me to linebacker as soon as I got to the league. So it was a learning process for me. I feel like now I got a good feel for it. And now I'm just helping other guys come along and just trying to help this defense become better.
Talk to us about that, because I was reading up on you, and obviously coming out of high school into college, you had played wide receiver and played really well.
Yeah.
And then in college, you're playing the position you're playing, and then you're a safety, and now you're playing some linebacker. Like, obviously that's hard to do at this level, but is there an advantage to that as well, having played in multiple spots all over the field?
I feel like play recognition sometimes comes easier for me. I feel like I look at the whole picture instead of just focusing on the box. That does help out a lot. Having an idea of route concepts behind me is also a good plus. So, yes, it definitely helps out a lot. The only thing I needed to learn was them O-linemen, man. I had to learn how to address them and get off of them.
Uh-huh. What about, because we just talked about the young players. I mean, obviously you drafted two pass rushers in the first round here. What have you seen from those guys as far as we know? I know with Jalen, he's been off to the side, but he's back now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've been hearing about James Pierce. Yeah, you know, as far as being a great pass rusher, but other stuff also.
Yes, sir. They're both physical players. I like the way they come to play every day. They're looking to just help this defense as well. Obviously, they got a lot of room to grow, and I'm excited to see them play in this preseason. Obviously, I continue to help them, but as far as all I can say is they've been coming to play.
Divine Diablo joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as practice is over for the day, at least the on-field portion of practice. Is there a loudest voice on that side of the ball? Does it feel – because obviously Grady Jarrett had been here. You weren't teammates with him, but he had been here and had been considered the leader of that side of the ball for years. Is there a guy that stands out to you early in camp that's sort of the loudest voice on defense?
Right now I'd say either Caden Ellis or Jesse Bates, one or the other. I feel like they both come get the defense riled up when we need it, and those two guys are very good leaders.
How's it playing with Caden? Because he is, you know, he's a returning starter here at the position. Obviously, you're new here. We haven't seen the other starter from last year in Trey Anderson, but you're in there with him. How is it working with him? We love talking to him.
Yeah.
Such a good dude and very informative. How is it playing with him on the field?
Awesome dude, man. He makes my job easy. I feel like whenever I'm not in the right position, he covers me. Whenever he's not in the right position, I cover him. It was just like we were working together, like on a string. And I feel like he makes my job easy.
Diablo with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Buffalo's Cafe. Mike Bell, we got some guy talk coming up.
Yeah, man. We started the show, and Carl knew something was wrong. Something was amiss. I wound up with a devil's haircut. I went to the wrong place, didn't have my regular haircut. The listeners have signed off. Some guys are saying I should shave my head, Carl.
It's that bad.
It's that bad. But wait, there's more. They're using fake robotic rabbits in the Everglades to trap snakes? I know that's a tease. Stay tuned. I'll explain.